Welcome to Torah Tumecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hindi Mendelowitz. We begin today, Shmuel Bet, Pelek Chaf Gimel, Chapter 23. Approaching the end of our Sefer, approaching the end of the life of David HaMelech. And our chapter begins with Pasuk Aleph, Ve'ele Divrei David Ha'acharonim. As the Radak and the Metzudot point out, Ha'acharonim, after the previous chapter, which was the grand song encompassing the life of David, after all of the songs David had composed throughout his remarkable life, here will be the last, the final song, the final section that David will compose through the power of Ruach HaKodesh. Ni'um, the word of David ben Yishai, un'um ha'gevel hu kam al. These are the words of David ben Yishai. These are the words of the man who was raised above. And how profound the words of the Metzudot, speaking in the voice of David. When I was just David ben Yishai, a shepherd alone in the fields, rejected, and alone I found HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The words I spoke then are the very same words I continue to speak, perhaps continue to sing, once I was Hukam Al, once I was raised above to be Mashiach Elokei Yaakov Un'im Zmiros Yisrael, to be the Mashiach, the anointed of the God of Yaakov, and the composer of the songs of Yisrael, as Rashi points out, the songs that Klal Yisrael will sing in the Beit HaMikdash. Says the Metzudot, there's a constancy, there's a humility, where the same truths that were apparent to David in the intimacy and the closeness he found in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a shepherd alone, are the very same truths that remain unchanged once he has been lifted to be one of the most remarkable and important people in the history of Klal Yisrael. And his journey towards being Mashiach Hashem, Ni'im, the sweet singers, Mirot Yisrael, is built upon Hukam Al, as Chazal tell us in Moed Katan, in Masechet Avodah Zarah, and the Yalkut Shimoni. Hukam Al, Shehekim Ola Shal Tshuva. David is the individual in our history who most closely and most sharply teaches us of the efficacy, of the power of tshuva. As Rashi says over there, Shehushav Tchila V'natan Derech Lashavim. He is the first and foremost Jew to return, to repent, and he shows the path to every other Jew who would wish to return. It's this facet of David as the Baal Teshuvah that makes him worthy to be Mashiach Elokei Yaakov. Mashiach is not meant to be a perfect person. The primary role of Mashiach is to direct Klal Yisrael in the national tshuva to actually deserve the Geulah that he'll herald. In other words, Mashiach will not bring perfect people home. And so Mashiach cannot descend from a perfect person. David, the model of tshuva, is the father of Mashiach, who will be, of course, the model for his generation of the tshuva necessary to bring the ultimate Geulah. And as the Be'er Yaakov points out, it is also the role of Ni'im Zmiros Yisrael that makes this so fitting. There are many people in tshuva and repentance who curl up into themselves in shame, in guilt, try to hide in a dark corner, and hope no one will notice how far they've fallen. That was not the model that David gives to us. In David's tshuva, he sang. The Ni'im Zmiros Yisrael is the one who sang songs not only of triumph and of victory. David sang songs recovering from his shame. David sang songs pining, desiring for a closeness that he felt he had lost. It is the songs of David, and it is the tshuva of David, that makes him worthy of being Mashiach Elokei Yisrael. David continues, Pasuk Bet. Ruach Hashem dibir bi. What I speak now, what I've spoken thus far throughout all my songs, was not from my own intelligence or creativity, but this was the Ruach HaKodesh, this was the Ruach of Hashem that spoke to me, umilaso alishoni, and his word is on my tongue. Pasuk Gimel, and here begins the final nivua of David Melech Yisrael. Amar Elokei Yisrael, said the God of Yisrael, li dibir tzur Yisrael, the Rock of Yisrael, spoke to me, saying, Moshel ba'adam tzadik, Moshel Yiras Elokim. When the nation of Yisrael has a king who is tzaddik, then he will rule and bring the entire nation to Yirat Elokim. To deepen this idea, as the Malbim does, he quotes the Chavel to the Melech Kuzar in Rav Yehuda Levi's work, The Kuzari. Hamolech al atzmo hu haraoi limloch al haklal. It is the person who rules over his own internal world who can impose his rule on others. When I have control of my own internal self, then I'm the sort of person who demands the respect of others. And when those others sense an authentic Yirat Elokim in their ruler and project that on him, they then seek to emulate, to live up to his example. And then Yirat Elokim is spread throughout the entire kingdom. Pasuk Dalid, Ucheol Boker Yizrach Shomesh, Boker Lo Avos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised that my malchut, my rule will be like the light of the morning, where that will lead to the shining of the sun. It will be an ever-increasing, ever-growing light. Boker lo avos. Not like a morning that's shrouded with clouds, where we first see some light and then it's covered. Rather, minoga mimatar deshe me'aretz. My malchut will shine more brightly and more constantly than the light that's the rays of the sun that comes as it's reflected by rain upon the grass of the earth. Pasuk Hey, not like that filtering, speckling light, but rather, Kilochen Besi Imkel. That is not how my rule, the rule of my house, will be. Kibris Olam Samli. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an eternal pact with me. Arucha Vakol Ushmura. That is set out and guarded for eternity. And as Rashi furthers the link, it's not only the Malchut of David that is forever, but the Malchut of David is forever because it is based upon an even more fundamental Brit. And that is Brit HaTorah. Asher sam li arocha b'chol beisi u'shmura. Because there is a Brit that is that the Torah shall be eternal and forever, and the house of David is linked to the upholding of the Torah. Kichal yish'i v'chal chefetz ki lo yatzmiach, as the Radak explains, because my every desire is that yish'i, the Yeshua, the salvation I bring to Klal Yisrael, will never end. Unlike the shrubs of the earth, ki lo yatzmiach, which do not grow, which do not take hold. Contrast to Pasuk Vav, David's been speaking of the constancy, of the eternity of the rule that was promised to him. On the other hand, Uvliya'al, but evil, kikotz munad kulaham, kiloviya dikachu, like a thorn that gets stuck within a person, where he cannot even remove it with his hand because it is so sharp and painful. But rather, Pasuk Zayin, v'ishi gabahem, any person who would touch such a thorn. And as the Mitzudot points out, this evil has been embodied by kings such as Yeravam ben Nevat and later Achav. The person who would touch this, Yimalei Varzel ve'etz chanis, he would have to remove such a thorn, not with his hands, but rather with some implement, some weapon of iron or of wood. Uva'esh sarof yisalfu bashoves, and it would have to be burnt until it doesn't exist anymore. David here again, in his final words of Nevuah, is contrasting again the brightness, the glow, the eternal promise, the Torah basis of his malchut, contrast to the evil of other homes, other thrones that were set up in Klal Yisrael that would have to be removed and destroyed. The Perek now shifts with the close of these last words of David to outline in Pasuk Chet, Ele Shmos HaGiborim Asher LeDavid. Now you'll now have a listing of 30 names of the greatest warriors of David. And these will not sound like run-of-the-mill, battle-hardened soldiers, but these sound like super people. The one who will slay 800 on one thrust, the one who will battle lions in the snow, who will creep behind Plishti lines just to get their master water. And there's a piece here of, this doesn't seem to be the closing note in the history of David, the forays of his strongest men. And in fact, there's a clue over here that there's something that's going much, much deeper. The clue begins with the words, Yoshev Bashevis Tachkemuni. As explained by the Radak and other Mefolshim, this is a warrior who belonged to David, who sat Bashevis Tachkemuni, sat with the wise ones. He was named Adino Ha'etzni. And the Radak right away explains to us, Adino Ha'etzni, when he learned Ma'aden Atzmo Kitolat, he sat humbly on the floor. But when he went out to battle, Makshe Atzmo Ke'etz, he was hardened like a tree. Seems like the ideal Jew, the greatest Talmid Chacham, and the greatest warrior. And who is this man, who seems to be a plishti slaying Gadol Hadol? Radak quotes three approaches brought by Chazal. We're speaking either here about David himself, we're not speaking of the three warriors of David, but we're speaking of three dimensions of Gvura exhibited by David, the warrior king who humbled himself to learn the Torah. Alternatively, this could refer to Yoav, who was the general of David, and also the Rosh HaSanhedrin, the leader of Klal Yisrael in Torah. Or according to Pshat, there was a third fellow, whose name was actually Adino, who slayed 800 enemies, but then sat down to learn the Torah. So there's a clue to where this Perek is going for all of the 30. The army of David was enormously mighty, often successful. But a theme we've seen throughout this entire sefer is that their physical might and prowess on the battlefield was always an outgrowth of monumental internal strength, of devotion to the Torah, and a subsuming of themselves to its labor. This really was the ideal Jewish army, as was perfectly and vividly exhibited by the description of these first most glorious three. So we start with Adino Ha'etzni, who we've already discussed. Pasuk Tet ve'acharav Elazar ben Dodo ben Achochi. B'shlosh ha'giborim im David, b'chofam ba'plishtim. And there were these three, this is the second we've just mentioned, Elazar ben Dodo ben Achochi, where they went to do battle with the plishtim. Ne'esfu sham la'milchama v'ya'alu ish Yisrael. They gathered, and all of Klal Yisrael followed. This fellow, Elazar, who came vayach ba'plishtim, he attacked the plishtim, ad ki yag'a yado, until he became tired. Vatidbak yado el acherev, his hand became stuck to the sword. Vayas Hashem tshu'a gedola ba'yom ahu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted a tremendous victory on that day. Ve'am yashuvu acharav ach lefashet, he single-handedly slayed the entire plishti army, of course, clearly as the agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the nation then followed merely to take the loot and to remove all the treasures that remained. The third of these first three, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ve'acharav Shama ben Age Harari, Ve'esfu Plishtim Lachaya, the Plishtim gathered Lachaya as one gedud, as one troop, like wild animals. Vati Sham Chelkas Hasadem Le'a Adashim, Ve'am Nas Mipnei Plishtim. And there was a field that was full of lentils, and the nation of Yisrael fled in the face of the Plishtim. But this one, Gibor, Shema, Vayisyatsev besoch hachelka vayatzileha, he stood by himself in this area and saved it. Vayaches haPlishtim, vayas Hashem tshu'a gedola. He attacked the Plishtim, and again HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a tremendous victory. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayerdu shlosha mehashloshim rosh, ויבוא אל קציר אל דוד אל מארס אדולם וחייס פלישתים חונה בעמק רפאים. It happened once that these three of the ultimate giborim of David, as we said, ultimate in physical strength, that derived, that was rooted in their tremendous spiritual stature, it happens once that they came to David in מארס אדולם, and there was a platoon of פלישתים that was encamped in עמק רפאים. V'David az b'mitzuda, u'matzav plishtim az beis lechem. David was in the mitzuda, the plishtim were in beis lechem. V'yis'aved David, and David was pining. V'yomer, mi yashkeni mayim mibor beis lechem asher b'sha'ar. Who will bring me water from the well in beis lechem? Which of course was behind enemy lines. Pasuk tetzayin, ויפקעו שלושת הגיבורים במחנה פלישתים, וישאבו מים מבור בית לחם, אשר בשער. And these three brave ones went through the enemy lines, drew water from the well in Beis Lechem, as their beloved, adored master, David, had requested. Vayis'u vayaviu el David, and they brought it to David. V'lo ava lishto sam, vayasech osam la'ashem. But David did not want to drink the water, once they had risked their lives to bring it, and he poured it out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayomel, said David in Pasuk Yitzayin, Chalila li Hashem me'asos izos. How, God forbid, that I could do this. Hadama anashim ha'olchim b'nafshosam. They have risked their lives to get me this water. I should drink it. V'lo ava lishtosam. He did not want to drink these waters. Ele asu shloshes ha'giborim. These are the feet of these three of the most prominent warriors. Now, this whole story seems difficult to understand until, of course, it's unlocked and explained by the Abarbanel and the Malbim, who explain. There has to be some balance between the amount of effort invested in any pursuit and the value of that which is achieved. We all find ourselves sometimes in life with our prize in hand, looking back and asking ourselves, was this worth it? David now had the water he was thirsty for, but he asks himself, was it worth my three greatest warriors risking their lives for this water? And it seems he felt it was not. And he then poured out this water as a nisuch, as an offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, retroactively elevating this water, not just to be water to drink, but once they'd risked their lives, giving it greater value as an offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To ask the question now, was this worthwhile? To be able to say, if I've dedicated this effort as an offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then every effort is worthwhile. Pasuk Yud Chet introduces us to another warrior we've met already, brought here in another light. Va'avishai achi Yoav ben Tzruya. Avishai, the general we've seen, the brother of Tzruya, hu rosh hashlosha. He is the leader of another set of three. Whereas the previous group of three, we saw one who could slay 800 at a time. It seems Avishai was not quite there. He slayed 300 at a time, which would indicate not necessarily, as we said, less brawn, less muscle, but perhaps a lower level of spiritual stature. So he is the leader of the next set of three. Min ha-shlosha ha-chi nechbad. He's not of the top three. Vayhi lehem lesal ve'at ha-shlosha lova. He's a leader of the next set of three, but not of the first set that we just introduced. Uvnayahu pasuk chaf. We now find another figure. Uvnayahu ben Yehoyada ben ish chai. We have the ksiv is chai, but the kli is chayil, was also a man of great valor and strength. Rav pe'alim mikav tse'el. Hu hika es shnei ariel mo'av. Again, seeming unusual might, where he was one who was able to attack the two strong ones of Moab, and he was able actually to attack a lion in a pit on a snowy day. Now again, these sounds like legends of war and legends of might, but here too, in Chazal and Brachot Yud Chet, with the understanding of Rashi, allow us to understand that all of these descriptions are alluding to a deeper, more internal strength. The word Ariel is a word that's often used to refer to the Beit HaMikdash. There was no one like Benayahu ben Yehoyada, who was a Kohen, not in Bayit Rishon, nor in Bayit Sheni, who was able to attack the Shnei Ariel Moav. Again, Moav is referring to the Bayit that was built by Shlomo HaMelech, descended from Rus, from the nation of Moab. Hikayes Ari, what is this that he's attacking? He used to break the ice to immerse in a mikveh before learning Torah, and he learned Torah Kohanim, which is the hardest section. As Pasuchav Gimel enunciates, this Benayahu ben Yehoyada was the greatest of the next 30 giborim, warriors, strong people, who will be mentioned. However, ve'ela shlosha lova, but he was not yet of the stature of the original set of three we saw earlier in this perek. Vayisimehu David el Mishmato. The rest of the perek until the end is the list of the 30 giborim, of the 30 warriors again in the service of David. But as the Radak points out on the word Ben Ishchai, which we read as Chayil, Tzadikim afilu b'mitatam kluyim chayim. The tzaddik, in a play on words, we're not speaking here again only of the ones who have the muscle and the brawn and fight it out on the battlefield, but we're speaking of tzaddikim, of spiritual giants, where even when they are dead, they are eternally alive. Glory on the battlefield dies with the warrior, but the sword of gvura, the sword of strength exhibited by the strong ones in the army of David, was the sword that made them not only legendary, but made them immortal. And it is this legacy of the strength of David, the strength that then was emulated by his soldiers, that become the immortal stories that we continue to tell and hopefully continue to live. Sefer Shmuel Bet is sponsored by Hilton and Leah Lightman, Leilei Nishmot, their parents, Shmuel ben David, Chana bat Yaakov Chaim, Kolonimus ben Chaim, and Saratema bat Menachem Mendel.